From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Thinking back to your teenage years can be uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. Being a teen has never been easy. And if we're honest, most of us did things in that period of our lives that we have lived to regret. Independent producer Susie Piker has the story of two teenagers in Lebanon, Maine, and the fateful decision they made.
On the morning of May 28, 2008, Destiny Faneuf and her best friend Rachel Brown knew one thing. They didn't want to go to school. The two eighth graders were tired. They had stayed up pretty much all night, and somewhere in between surfing MySpace and sneaking outside to the trampoline, they hatched a plan. Instead of getting on the bus, they'd walk down to the train tracks near Rachel's house in Lebanon, Maine, and spend the day outside, out of sight.
It's not like it's such a bad thing that we go on there, because everyone does. Like, people every day go on those tracks and, like, go jumping off of it to go in the water and then sit on there to go fishing. It's not, like, out of the blue.
We were laying, like, the same way the tracks go. We weren't laying across them. We had our bag in the middle. Like, I was laying on my right side with my hat on it, and she was laying on her left side. And we were, like, wicked tired, and we didn't really mean to
fall asleep.
We were just laying down and talking and everything. And
because, like, imagine just sleeping so peacefully.
Lieutenant Gary Fechtel, York County Sheriff's Office. You got a conductor and you got an engineer. I think there was an exchange between the two of them. Oh, I think it's towels. Oh, my God, no, there's people on there. They laid on the brakes and blaring the horn, and they didn't move. They could see what was going to happen, and they did everything they possibly could. But you just can't stop a train like you can a car.
Two teenage girls were hit by a train heading north.
Were hit on the tracks right on the border of Lebanon, Maine, and Milton, New Hampshire. 13 and 14-year-old girls. It could have been because they had fallen asleep.
When I woke up under the train and everything, it's pretty much all shock, because, like, you're sleeping, and then you wake up under a train, and you're like, what? And I was, like, crawling on my hands and knees out from under the train, and I tried to run. And, like, my body was so heavy against, like, all the splintery wood and all the rocks, like, digging into my back, and it was really bad. I forgot, like, that anybody was there. I forgot why I was there, and it all came back to me so fast, and I, like, crawled back under, and I woke up. I'm like, Destiny, get up. I couldn't understand. The only thing I could understand was really pain. Like, that's what hurt the most was the wind. When your, like, bones that have never, like, touched the air, it's like putting a popsicle on your bottom teeth. Except for times a million.
News of the accident spread fast, and there were more questions than answers. Two teenage girls struck by a freight train? How did they survive? And why didn't they feel the vibrations or hear the whistle? Was it a suicide pact or a teenage game of chicken? But when the police finished their investigation, they backed the girls' story. They fell asleep on the tracks. Both girls suffered amputations. Rachel lost most of her right foot, and Destiny lost her left leg below the knee. They were airlifted to Maine Medical in Portland for immediate surgery.
When I woke up, Rachel came in her wheelchair, and, like, the first thing she said, she was like, I love you. I was like, I love you too. My mom told me I lost a leg, and it didn't really go through my mind. It didn't even go through my mind for, like, a month. I was like, oh, whatever. I lost a leg, it'll grow back. And I was like, wait a minute, no, it won't.
Well, she liked it in the hospital. She felt safe. It was definitely an adjustment when we came home.
Trish Del Santo is Destiny's mom.
She kind of hibernated in her room because she couldn't fall. When she wanted something, she would yell for me, like, in the hospital. Destiny's not good with change. She has a hard time with it. It takes her a while.
On a Saturday in late September, 5 months after the accident, Destiny is searching for her favorite T-shirt. She hops from the kitchen to the family room on her good right foot.
Yeah? Do you remember that shirt? Remember the Manson shirt?
It was in your room.
I have to wear it, Mom.
Destiny has come a long way from hibernating in her room, but getting around, just moving from place to place, is a struggle.
Everything has changed, even to the smallest thing. Any normal kid would get up, and if they're thirsty, they go get a drink. She can hop to the refrigerator. She can open the refrigerator. She can hold the refrigerator door and put the juice on the counter, pour the drink, but she can't carry it. Even simple things like getting a drink, it's done differently now. I don't think there's anybody in the entire world that has not made a bad choice. I wish I made, a better choice, of course. But I still love them. you just have to go on and deal with it and get through it. It's just the way it is.
Destiny won't get her prosthetic leg for months. In the meantime, she refuses to use a wheelchair. She either hops or uses crutches.
I don't like using a wheelchair because, I don't know, it like makes me, I don't want to feel crippled. Like, I want so badly not to be crippled. It's like I lost a part of myself. It feels like a part of me is dead because it's gone.
We all make mistakes, but imagine making a bad decision that you will remember every day for the rest of your life. That is Destiny and Rachel's new world. But if there's a sense of remorse, of regret, it's not evident. The girls have adapted in that way only kids can. They emanate teen bravado and resolve. Later in the afternoon, the girls are on their way to the Rochester Fair in New Hampshire. Singing to music in the backseat, they're goofy and confident. And if it was their friendship that got them into trouble, their friendship may also be the thing that gets them through.
See, this is why me and Rachel get along so much, because we were both there and it both happened to, like, us. And no one else really knows, so they just think it is like, oh yeah, that was one day, just, you know, get over it, like, live your life, don't be all sad about it. But they don't understand.
In November, Destiny will get her prosthetic leg. At 25 pounds, it will be heavier than she imagined, more clunky. And within weeks of bringing it home, it will be clear that she needs another surgery to relieve a painful pressure point. She'll miss so much school that now she's in danger of failing her freshman year. But today, all of that is still months away.
We are arriving at the fair.
Yeah, we're at the fair.
The fair is packed. They wind their way through the crowd, past aisles of fried food vendors, towards the rides. Rachel's shuffle is hardly noticeable. Destiny is on crutches and stops to rest. People stream around the girls, and many steal a quick glance, some even nod knowingly. The accident was big news in this area.
Pretty much every day, I, go out and someone says something, they're like, oh, what happened to you? And I'll tell them, and they're like, oh, yeah, I heard about that. I'm so sorry.
I think of all these different things that makes me feel sad, because it'll be a little harder on her. Think of her when she gets older. I mean, just an elderly person hopping around on one leg. I mean, she'll be in a wheelchair, and I don't want to make her a cripple because she can do just about anything that anybody else can do, just in a different way.
At the Tilt-A-Whirl, the girls hand over their tickets. Destiny leaves her crutches behind and hops to join Rachel in one of the dome-shaped cars.
It was hard for me to accept myself because I don't want to accept myself. I want it to be the way it was. But I can't change it, so I have to accept myself. I guess that's what I'm doing.
They spin around and around, and for a moment, they're just two girls, two best friends, on a ride at the fair.
Our story on Destiny and Rachel came to us from independent producer Susie Piker with help from the Salt Institute for Documentary Studies in Portland, Maine.